Okay, we're in the book of Jude, reading verses 3 to 7. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Loving Father, we do pray that you will minister to us according to the teaching of your word, and that your Holy Spirit might bring these things to our attention. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we look at this passage this afternoon, we find that there is a warning which is given to the believers concerning contending for the faith. The Epistle of Jude is believed to have been written by Jude, who was one of the brothers of the Lord. And we find also that what he has to say then has a strong Jewish tone to it, theme to it, if you will, because the various illustrations given here, of course, come right out of the Old Testament. And we would suspect then that the people to whom he is writing would be well familiar with these same examples of the Old Testament. And so they have that connection here. And Jude calls himself a servant. He does not call himself an apostle. But he does call himself a brother of James and a servant of Jesus Christ. And so we know that what he has to say has a great deal of bearing upon not only his witness for Christ, but also his desire to see that the believers, the Jewish believers, who might be reading this, not to say that it wasn't circulated also among others, such as Gentile nations, but we should remember that the Jewish believers were scattered abroad throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Bithynia, many different provinces within the realm of Rome. And we also note that the believers, as they began to spread out from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and then unto the uttermost parts of the known world at the time, what we might call the old world, we find that there was ample reason to believe that this epistle would find its way among many that would have a strong connection to what was being said. So we also have a connection to it. We are well acquainted with the Word of God and in relationship to the various Old Testament stories which are being referenced here. And we do also know of the false teachers of the first century, as even as there are false teachers today. At first, I just wanted to bring out a few things to you concerning this verse here in verse 3. And I thought it might be of some interest to you to see some of the word meaning that is being used here. The words for earnestly contend is this word, this Greek word, which is epagonizomai. So you can see where this comes out of it, the transliteration,
agonizomai, and we get the word agonize from it. And so agonize earnestly and with all diligence for the defense, or in the defense of the truth.
Well, as we think about what it means to agonize over something, we know there is a great deal of thought given to it. And so I think it's probably something that each of us can relate to when we say that we agonize over something. It might be one's health, as you think about your health and your need to improve your health for some reason or another. Or it might be some area of finance, or it might be some concern about family members, or it could just be a whole host of different things that would come to our mind that we would say that sometimes we think on these quite earnestly and we give a lot of thought to them. We might even say you agonize over them because it is something which remains on your mind and heart constantly. Well, here is Jude, and he is telling the believers to do something like that. Only in this particular area, he is telling them to agonize over the faith. Over the faith. Now, when we stop and think about the faith, maybe different things might come to your mind. It might be, you might say, well, faith, that's what I believe. I believe in faith. So I trust God because I believe in faith. Or you might say, well, I believe that the faith is what I know. The faith is what I know in the sense of you say, well, my belief in God has to do with faith. So it might be something you internalize and say, I do that, I have faith. Or it might be something you say, well, I believe in that, and you relate it to something a little bit more external outside of yourself. The faith. Or you might say the faithful, as a whole group of people might believe something. Well, we want to just kind of look at what Jude is trying to say here about faith, about contending for the faith. And so as we look at verse 3 again, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. Now, we've already looked at what it means to contend. It means to do this, to agonize earnestly. So when it comes to agonizing earnestly for faith, it may not mean then simply to have faith, as one might believe, but it might be then referred to as a body of truth. Faith as a body of truth. In other words, as a Christian today, you couldn't have faith if you didn't believe something. There's something you have to believe to have faith. And that something has to do with God and what God has done for you. And so this word faith, then, that he's talking about here carries a more broader meaning than simply, oh, I believe. It carries a broader meaning, and the meaning here has to do with truth. What is the faith composed of? What is that body of truth that says, I have faith? So we want to look at that. First of all, let's look at Galatians 1:23. In Galatians 1:23. Now here in Galatians, it says something about faith. In verse 23 it says, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith. To preach the faith. Now, we talk about preaching the faith. That's a little bit different than simply saying, I have faith, or that I believe in God. If we say that we are preaching the faith, it carries a much broader meaning, but also a stronger evidence. Preach the faith. Well, you may say, I don't really go preaching the faith too much. And that's probably true. You might not say, well, I don't have any place to preach. And even if I did, probably nobody would want to listen to me. You might even say, well, I've tried that. And they usually say, don't preach to me. So when we think about the idea of preach the faith, it has to do with something called a body of truth. It has something to do with a body of truth. And again, if you want to look at this verse in Galatians, what is being said? Let's go up to verse 18 and come down to 23. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I, none save James, the Lord's brother. Now of these which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterward I came into the regions of Cilicia and Syria, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. So the idea of preaching faith then has to do with carrying a message and has to do with a body of truth. As the apostles carried the message of Christ, and as the apostles carried that body of truth to other people. Now when the apostle Paul or Peter or James or any of the other apostles went to somebody, they didn't just say, well, I believe in God. They just didn't say, well, I believe in Jesus. But they carried on a message which brought a body of truth. Now, it is this body of truth which most pastors, I say most because there may be some exceptions to that, most pastors preach a body of truth about Jesus. And that body of truth is called the faith. The faith. And so here we have James saying something to the Christians. And he says, I want you to be sure to agonize earnestly about preaching the faith. The body of truth. I want you to agonize earnestly about that. Well, you see, there should be some concern about what we say. There should be some concern. And especially for pastors, because we find that unless we do have a great deal of concern about what we say, we may be able to kind of say most anything. We may be able to say something comforting. You may be able to say, well, things are getting better. I think the economy is going to improve. We may even say, well, you know, people are not all bad. There's a lot of good people in the world today. And we may be able to even say something like, well, I think this group of people is a great group of people, and I have a lot of faith in you. Now, you see, I'm using that word faith very generally, aren't I? You see what I mean? But when it really comes down to preaching, we don't say things like that. I mean, that may be very nice to say those kinds of complimentary things, but those things are not a body of truth about faith in Jesus Christ. And so, what did he want the believers to agonize over but a body of truth? Let's look at 1 Timothy 4:1. In Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, in this particular instance, we find that he is saying here that some will depart from the faith. So he says, some will depart. From the faith. So here we find in Timothy, as Paul writes to Timothy, he says that the Spirit of God expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith. They'll depart from the body of truth. Now again, we find that this idea of departing from a body of truth has to do with what is preached about Jesus. It doesn't have to do with I believe something, or that I have faith in you, or that I think tomorrow is going to be better than today, or I think things are improving in the world, or something like that, where we express some kind of general idea of belief or faith in something or someone. But this is talking about a body of truth. Some will depart from the faith. And as you look at that passage in Timothy, you get the idea that this body of truth has a lot to do with the church, and whether or not those in the church are being faithful in preaching the Word of God. And so again, in 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. And what are they doing? Instead of believing the body of truth, they are giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And so here the comparison is they are abandoning a body of truth, and they are believing seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, when it talks about seducing spirits here, you may remember Eve in the garden, and how that Eve was talked to by the serpent, by Satan, and the idea of what was going on was that Eve was being beguiled or seduced as the serpent talked to her. In other words, the serpent was saying things that were contradicting what God said to Adam and to Eve. And so it was involved, even at that point, there was a body of truth that God had established for Adam and Eve. But we find that the serpent was seeking to undermine that body of truth, to change that body of truth, to beguile Eve or seduce Eve into believing something other than what God had told Adam and Eve. And we find that the word doctrines of devils is used here because there are those who teach things that are a teaching which is not of God, but of evil spirits, or demons, if you will. And so he tells the believers, he says, agonize, agonize, because there are some who will depart from the faith, who will depart from the body of truth, and who will believe doctrines of demons. Well, let's take the third one referenced here, and that's in Hebrews 4:14. In Hebrews 4:14, he says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." Okay, now the book of Hebrews, of course, focuses on that area of Jesus as being superior to the Old Testament prophets, to the angels, to the Old Testament law, to the Old Testament sacrifices. Jesus is superior to everything that was before. And now Jesus is the one who is the central focal point of the New Testament and of the body of truth. The body of truth. Now, we've already looked at that, what the faith means. It means, in this context, body of truth. Now, what is Hebrews 4:14 telling us to do? Hebrews 4:14 says, let us hold fast our profession. You see, Jude wanted the believers to get a very clear picture of what it meant to contend for the faith. We might think that what he's saying is that we have to go out and do battle with something or someone. We might even think, well, you know, I've got to get into some conflict with another person. I've got to get into a debate. I might have to really learn the Bible well enough so that I can defend very strongly what I believe. And, you know, to a point, maybe all of that might be true. But of course, every believer is at a different place in their Christian life. And so then, what does this mean to you as a believer? First of all, it would mean that this means a lot to you. It means much more than simply saying, oh, I believe in God, or or I believe that things are going to get better, or I believe that I'm going to have a good year this year. It means much more than simple, well, I think I'll sit down in this chair over here because I think this chair is going to hold me up. It means more than simply putting some faith in an object. It means that you are embracing a body of truth. And that body of truth you're going to agonize over. You're going to earnestly agonize over it. So think about what you do as a Christian when you come to the Bible. Do you agonize over what the Bible has to say to you about the faith? You see. And I would like to just say to you that every one of you can do this and should do this. And that does not mean you have to learn Greek to do it. That doesn't mean that. Although to some people, like those who are pastors, it may mean that. But it means that you take seriously what this means to you. In other words, you don't diminish the idea of faith. You don't just say, well, you got your faith and I got my faith and we're all happy type of thing. That doesn't work for this. When you come to this, it means there is something about Jesus and what you believe about Jesus and what you believe about the Word of God that you will not give up on, that you will not relinquish, you will not capitulate, you will not give up, but you will keep it. Because we are told to hold fast our profession of faith, you see. So this word and the context to which it is given to us says something important about what each of us should do. And I don't want to set the bar so high you can't reach it. In fact, I'm trying to bring it down to where you can reach this, because to have faith in Jesus Christ is to have such a common salvation, idea of the common salvation, that Jude says, well, I was going to write to you about the common salvation. He said, but now I'm going to warn you that you need to agonize over this body of truth, because there are people who want to distort it. There are people who want to do something to alter it, or to convince you that what you believe about this body of truth is somehow wrong. You see, each one of us can do this. Each one of us can agonize over the body of truth, because that means we're given an earnest consideration of what the Bible is saying. As each of us read it, as each of us study it, as each of us know our own relationship to Jesus Christ, as each of us say to ourselves, Jesus is truly the Savior. The Bible says that He is the Savior, that He came into the world and was manifest the Son of God. The Bible says that He was born of a virgin. The Bible says that He is the incarnate of Christ, that He is the Son of God. The Bible says that He died on the cross for my sins. The Bible says that He shed His blood, and through the shedding of His blood, it was the atonement for my sins. The Bible says that after He died, He was buried, and that He arose again the third day. The Bible says that He ascended to the right hand of the Father. You see what I'm doing here? I'm telling you some things about your common faith, which you already know. You already know everything I've just said to you. And so all of you can do the very thing that He's saying here. In other words, when somebody begins to say something to you, and they begin to change what you know about your common faith,
you are doing this. You are agonizing over your faith. You are considering everything that you know about that body of truth. And you are making a discerning idea. You're making a discernment about what is being said to you. And you are saying to yourself, well, I'm not going to change my opinion about this body of truth, about this faith. I'm not going to do that. And in the process of saying that to yourself and reinforcing that truth to yourself, you are doing this. You are agonizing. Now, it may take on different dimensions at different times. It may be that the person that you're talking to, you may say something to that person about what you believe, or you may not. But whatever you do, this will not change. And this body of truth will not change to you. You will keep it because you want to do this. Amen. You want to agonize over that. You want to maintain it at all costs because that is what is truly known as the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God unto salvation. And so Jude is, he's bringing this subject to bear. And then he goes into these illustrations here, which he speaks to in verse 4. For there were certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's quite a bit here to get into, so I probably won't take it anymore right now. But this week, look at those verses. Look at verse 4 in particular, and just kind of think about it. You don't even have to go beyond verse 4. Just look at verse 4 and look at it and read it. Read it over 100 times. Read it over in more than one translation if you want to. But read it over and over several times and just think on verse 4. And then next week when we come back, we'll look at that and we'll see why that Jude said here that there are some who are doing this. There are some who are doing this. That they are crept in unawares. In other words, they don't immediately make themselves known. They kind of sneak in, as it were, to plant their particular belief among other people. He says that these same people were, in a sense, ordained to this. That is, and we'll talk about what that means. As far as being ordained to that. And really what it has to do with, we'll look in the Old Testament and see what some people were doing in the Old Testament that was against the Word of God. And we'll see how that those people in the Old Testament are then a kind of a prophetic picture of what happens when you leave the body of truth called the faith. Now, see, that's kind of the reverse principle that I'm talking about here. There were people who would leave that body of truth in the Old Testament. And they would leave it. They would abandon faith. And they would follow the doctrines that they were then pursuing. And that's what he is talking about here. And he says there were people like that. In the Old Testament, there were people like that. And the illustrations that he uses all come from the Old Testament. So we know he's not taking some new example. These are well-established examples already. And they will help us to understand what goes on when a person abandons the true faith, the true body of truth.
And so we'll look at that more closely next week. So just remember this week, each of you can contend and agonize earnestly. In fact, you cannot not do this if you are a believer. You cannot not do it. I know it's kind of a double negative, but if you are a true believer, you will do this because you are a believer. And of course, Jude's warning is that some people can get very confused and be led astray if they do not do this, agonize over the faith, the body of truth. Shall we look to the Lord? Loving Father, we thank you for your word to us. Help us to understand more clearly all that Jude is trying to explain to us, that we might see our part in fulfilling, contending for the faith. In Jesus' name, amen.